You know what the book of Nehemiah said? And we will not forsake the house of our God. That's what it says in chapter 10 and verse 39. Then over in chapter number 13, there's a great question asked. Consider this. Why is the house of God forsaken? It seemed like that a lot of times that the man of God finds himself preaching about faithfulness. But the Bible said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I tell you, friend, there's a lot of people that are unfaithful to the house of God. If they treated their spouse like they treated God's house, I tell you, they would be in divorce court, hey, friend, before the week is gone by. Hey, friend, they're unfaithful to the things of God. Hey, friend, Sunday morning comes, and they don't have time. They've gone off, friend, on some trip or some event. You said, preacher, are you against vacation? Absolutely not. But I'm going to tell you what, isn't it sad that the only time that people can go on vacation is the Lord's Day? Amen. Hey, they can't come back on Saturday night. They got to come back on Sunday afternoon. Hey, friend, they can't go on Monday. They got to go on Sunday. Now, you might as well nod your head and say amen. They ain't no need to reach in to turn the radio dial down. They ain't no need, friend. And you getting up, friend, and leaving and going out of the room. Hey, friend, or cutting the car off. Hey, friend, and getting out. You might as well get in. Listen to what God has to say. I'm going to tell you what, if you're one of those that have forsaken the house of God and you're not faithful anymore, shame, shame, shame on you. There is no excuse. I'm going to tell you what, friend, we have the doors open here in the Gospel Baptist Church on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. And I tell you, the people of God ought to be found in the house of God. If you're sick, I certainly understand. Sometimes there are circumstances beyond our control, and feel we cannot. But some people habitually lay out of the house of God. Hey, friends, Sunday night, they always feel bad, and they cannot come back. They use every excuse in the book, but the fact of the matter is, they are just lazy. Amen. On Wednesday night, they say things like this. Well, I hadn't been able to eat supper yet, and I've worked all day, and I'm just tired. Shame on you. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you're not the only one that works a job. You're not the only one that's tired. Amen. Instead of calling in, you ought to crawl in and beg God to help you and be found faithful in the house of God and in your place doing the will of God. Somebody said, what is the will of God? Well, I'm going to tell you what part of it is, friend. Part of it is being faithful to the house of God where you belong to. You say, well, preacher, I don't belong to a house of God. I've never joined up. Well, shame on you. Amen. You ought to be a part. I tell you, a lot of people don't want to be a part. Amen. They want to reap the benefits, but they don't want to be a part. Amen. I tell you, that's the society which we live in. A no-commitment society. Can I tell you why people are shacking up and living together instead of being married? Hey, because they don't want the responsibility or the commitment. Amen. Or the accountability that comes with it. They want to do like they want to. And when things don't go their way, pack their bags and go somewhere else. And that's the way people treat the house of God. Now, you might as well say amen to that and nod your head and say, praise God, preacher, preach on. I tell you, a friend, in the house of God, you ought to be able to find the people of God. Why is the house of God forsaken? I'm going to tell you why. Because people got too many things, amen, that keep them from the house of God. Hey, friend, they got ball games and ball teams. They got sales, hey, friend, at their favorite place to shop. Hey, friend, they got this and they got that. They got to go over here and they got to go over there. I'm going to tell you what, families are coming in town. I'm going to tell you what, why don't you bring your family to the house of God? I tell you, since I've been born again by the power of God, to God be the glory, family has never kept me at home. Amen. I've been sick a few times and was not able to come. I've been in the hospital a couple times and I could not come. But I tell you what, friend, I'm going to be found faithful to the house of God. If I can't do nothing else, I'll come and raise my hand and try to encourage that one. Thank God that needs help in the house of God. But I tell you, God's people ought to be found in God's house. Amen. That's exactly right. On the Lord's Day, that same time of evening, Jesus showed himself to the disciples. But you know who wasn't present? Thomas wasn't. There's a lot of people not present. Instead of making excuses, why don't you get right with God get in the house of God like you need to. Support your church. Support your preacher. Thank God. Support the work of God. Quit making excuses. Amen. I tell you, the people of God ought to be found in the house of God. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you something else that ought to be found in the house of God. The worship of God. Oh, yeah, we're worshiping everything but the Lord. Amen. That's exactly right. We're worshiping everything but the Lord. The Bible said the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. For God is a Spirit, and they which worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to tell you what the problem is, friend. There's not much worship at the house of God. I tell you, you go down to the funeral home, and they're laughing and joking and carrying on. And friend, you would think, friend, hey, that you're at a ball game somewhere. Hey, friend, listen, you know, a lot of times it's quieter at the house of God than it is in your own public library. I tell you, it ought not be that way. I believe in reverence in God. I believe in respect in God. But I tell you what, friend, if we can't worship God on God's day in God's house, where can we worship Him? I tell you, we ought to adore Him. We ought to thank Him. We ought to praise Him. When's the last time someone stood to their feet with tears running down their face and said, "Preacher, I just want to thank God for saving my soul and redeeming my life for destruction"? When's the last time, friend, that somebody got happy and shouted the praises of God and somebody thanked God for answering prayer? Amen. And somebody just came and fell prostrate before the Lord in the altar and begin to worship Him and raise their hands toward heaven. Amen to God. I say you worship God when you sing. You worship God when you shout. You worship God when you preach. Amen to God. You worship God when you testify. But I tell you what, there's not much worship anymore. But I tell you, when the leper came down, hey friend, other words, when the Lord came down from the mountain that day in Matthew chapter number 8, and the leper came to Him, you know what the leper did? He worshiped Him. I'm going to tell you why you worship God. First of all, you worship God for who He is. See, the Lord hadn't done one thing for Him yet. But He didn't worship God because of what He did. He worshiped God for who He is. Amen. Thank God the Lord is the sovereign of the universe. He is God, and besides Him, there is none else. He has all power and all authority. Thank God He does all things well. Thank God. Amen. You worship God for who He is. He's the God of creation. Thank God He's the God of salvation. Amen. You worship God for who He is. Thank God He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. Amen. He's thrice holy. Amen. Praise God. Amen for that. You ought to worship God, friend, for who He is. Thank the Lord this morning. You ought to raise your hands and say, "I'm glad that I know the God of heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then you worship God for what He's done. Amen. Hey, friend, there were 10 lepers one day. Hey, they came to the Lord, and the Lord healed every one of them. But one returned to worship God. Amen. See, you worship God for what He's done. If you've been saved by the grace of God, then you ought to worship God. You've got a reason to thank Him. And if it's been a long time, hey, friend, since you publicly stood and thanked God with a heart of adoration for saving your miserable, wretched, hell-deserving soul, I tell you, friend, you ought to do it this morning. Hey, friend, shock everybody in the house of God. You just come in faithful, amen, and worship God. Worship God when the choir sings. Worship God during the special singing. Worship God when the man of God preaches. I mean, worship Him. Oh, yes, worship Him. I tell you, friend, what's missing in the house of God? Worship is. You can't hardly find it. In some places, it's been 20 years since they've worshiped God. In some places, it's been 20 years since they've had the Word of God. In some places, it's been 20 years since they've had a man of God. In some places, friend, it's been 20 years since they've seen the Spirit of God move. In some places, friend, I tell you, it's been 20 years since some people showed up. Isn't it amazing how the people have their name on a church roll somewhere and they say, "I belong to such and such a Baptist church or such and such some kind of church"? Hey, friend, it's been years since they've been there. Hey, they're not a member of that assembly, amen. A member is a part, amen. Hey, they just want their name on the roll somewhere to make themselves feel better. Hey, friends, so that when somebody gets married in their family, they can use a church facility, and when they die, they can be buried in the church cemetery. I'm going to tell you, friend, it does not work that way. And if you're not faithful to the house of God, you've got absolutely no excuse, amen. Hey, for folk that can't come, hey, folk, because of physical disabilities, I can certainly understand that, and God will help them where they are. But I tell you what, if you can get out and you don't get out, hey, friend, it's because you're lazy and you want to do your own thing instead of the right thing. But I tell you, friend, I wonder, are there some things missing at the house of God? Can I tell you something else right quick? Can I tell you something else that's missing this morning? I tell you what's missing, the fear of God. That's exactly right. The fear of God. By the way, that's why people lay out of the house of God. Because they got no fear of God. That's why people do what they want to. Because they got no fear of God. See, we're living in that day when people just don't care. See, as Paul's writing the church at Rome, see, in chapter number 3 of the book of Romans is dealing with the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And brother, you better believe that. He has this to say in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See, we live in that no fear society. Hey, friend, you see it on the back of people's automobiles. They wear it upon their apparel. And you see the words, no fear. You say, well, preacher, don't you understand that is a sports apparel? And a sports saying, oh, yes, I understand that. But the problem is, friend, that's the philosophy that people have in the hour in which we live. Hey, friend, they have no fear of authority whatsoever. They have no respect for authority. Amen. They don't fear mom and daddy. They don't fear the powers above them. And they do not fear God Almighty. Amen. But I tell you what God can do. He put the fear of God in you. See, there was a man by the name of Belshazzar. He threw himself a drunken party. I mean, he had the wine and the women. He was having himself a big time. He called for the vessels of the house of God. Isn't that something? And they began to drink wine out of them. And God began to write upon the wall. Amen. You know what he said? He said, you've weighed in the balance and you have been found wanting. Hey, friends, some have paraphrased. And I preached along the lines of this. They turn out the lights, the parties over. Amen. One of these days, friend, the party is going to be over. Hey, friend, you've been weighed in the balance and you are found wanting. Amen. See, there is no fear of God. Hey, you know what people do? Hey, friend, you know, friend, that people, they're breaking in the house of God. Hey, friend, they're defacing the property. They're writing graffiti upon the wall. They're taking things out of God's house. Hey, friend, they're committing fornication in the church parking lot. They're throwing their beer cans out of the churchyard. Can I tell you why? There's no fear of God. Hey, friend, they talk any way they want to around the man of God and the people of God. They'll laugh and cuss and tell their dirty jokes. They have no respect. Amen. You know why? There's no fear of God. It used to be, friend, that sinners came to the house of God on the Lord's day because of a fear of God. But now, friend, you can't even get God's people to come to the house of God on God's day. How do you expect sinners to come? I'm going to tell you why. Hey, friend, the society has lost their fear of God. It's because God's people have lost their fear of God. Hey, they'll run people down. They'll run the man of God down. I'm going to tell you what, if you're one of them that runs the man of God down, it talks about your preacher and his family. I tell you, you're lower than a snake. Shame on you. You've got no fear of God. Hey, you ought to repent of your sin and get right with God. Get right with your preacher. Beg his forgiveness. Get right with the church. Hey, get back where you need to be. But the problem is, there's no fear of God. Oh, yes. People don't fear God. That's why they do what they do. That's why they act like they act. That's why they talk like they talk. There's no fear of God. Oh, yes. Let me ask you something. Do you fear God this morning? You do understand. Friend, the only reason that you're living is because He's given you life. See, the Bible said it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. If God hadn't gave you breath, you wouldn't be a breathing. Oh, yes. And the same God that created you is the same God that's going to judge you. Amen. And I tell you what, you're headed to the judgment. That's exactly right. See, everybody's going to give an account of their self. But there's no fear of God. See, people are doing what they want to. They don't fear of God. They haven't thought about eternity. They haven't thought about meeting their maker. Some people say, well, I'm young. I'm going to tell you what, friend. People die, they're young, just like people die, they're old. But the fact of the matter is, if you live to be 100, one of these days you're going to face God Almighty. Amen. And I'll tell you, friend, that day it'll be too late. It'll be too late to get right with God. See, there's no fear of God. People don't fear hell. They don't fear judgment. They don't fear a holy and righteous God that's looking at them. They don't fear God. See, there's no fear of God in this day in which we live. Amen. They have that no fear attitude. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We've got young people that will say, Mom and Daddy's not going to tell me what to do. We've got church members that will sit there and say, the preacher's not going to tell me what to do. And let me tell you something, Mom and Daddy. There's no need in coming to the preacher crying about your rebellious teenagers. They won't do the will of God, won't listen to you. They shook their fists in your face and told you to drop dead. When you sit there on the pew Sunday morning and Sunday night, and the man of God speaks to you and you shake your head, you drive home, friend, and say, I'm not going to do it. I don't know who he thinks he is. When the man of God lays out the word of God, and your children have been sitting beside you for years, and they see you will not submit to the man of God, don't expect them to submit to you. You're the problem. That's exactly right. See, there's no fear of God. Oh, yes. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, aren't you about done? Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm about done. But I tell you what, there's some things that need to be found in the house of God. Hey, the Word of God needs to be found there. If you go someplace where the Word of God's not preached, you ought to get out of that place. You ought to go to someplace with a man of God. Oh, yes. You ought to go to someplace, friend, where there's the Spirit of God. You ought to go, friend, if you're part of God's people. And I tell you what, if you're part of the people of God and you're not faithful like you need to be, shame on you. You ought to go to someplace, friend, where there is the worship of God. And you ought to go to someplace where there is the fear of God. You know what's coming up? Let me go ahead and get it. What many refer to as Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, have I got your attention? Listen to me for a minute. You know what they're doing on Super Bowl Sunday? They're bringing in the big screen, and people are sitting out in the pews, drinking Pepsi and eating popcorn, and cheering for their favorite team. That's a desecration of the house of God. That's an abomination in the sight of God Almighty. Hey, we throw the things of God out to bring the world into entertainment, and people will lay out of God's house on Super Bowl Sunday. And because they got no fear of God, they've got no reverence for God, they've got no respect for God to watch their favorite team play. Why don't you get right with God? Amen. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you what, in case you're wondering, we're not having Super Bowl Sunday at the Gospel Baptist Church. We never have had it, and we never will have it. And by the way, friend, it's the Lord's Day. Amen. And I tell you, if God will help us, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be preaching and praying and singing and shouting for the glory of God. Oh, yes. You better believe that. Amen. You might as well nod your head. Amen. You don't tell the truth. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something else, friend, that ought to be found at the house of God. And that's the joy of God. Amen? Oh, yes. See, there's not much joy in the hour in which we live. But I tell you, joy ought to be found. You know what the psalmist said? Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Hey, just how glad are you to be at the house of God this Lord's Day? Are you excited, friend, about walking the doors of the house of God when you go to church? Thank God, can you just hardly wait to get down there, praise God, and worship the Lord? But yet the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what Nehemiah tells us? He tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, there's joy in going this way. One of the happiest places you ought to be is the house of God. Amen. I remember as a young man sitting on the church pew, the old time saints of God would come in the house of God. I've seen them come in the back door singing, thank God, the praises of the Lord. Amen. I've seen them walk down the aisle, thank God, with a smile on their face, greeting one another, excited about being in the house of God. I've seen the joy of God upon their faces, the choir would sing. I've seen them stand, thank God, and shout, and praise God, walk the aisles, and praise God. Amen. I've seen them come out of the prayer room, singing the windows of heaven open, and the blessings are falling tonight. I've seen the joy of God. I've seen, praise God, that joy began to affect all that are round about. I tell you, friend, the house of God ought to be a joyful place. Thank God when you get your cup full and are running over. Amen. I'm going to tell you how you have joy. You get born again by the power of God, and you walk in the light, and you love Him, and you do these things. Amen. I tell you, friend, there's joy in going this way. The Bible talked about, Brother Peter said, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Hey, John wrote that your joy might be full. Amen. Thank God, friend. I tell you, if you do God's will, you have into this world, joy comes from the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, I'm trying to win the lottery. Well, shame on you. Amen. I tell you, it's not win the lottery that's going to make you happy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. See, the Apostle Paul, he was chained up one day, and they brought him out of the prison house, and he stood before Agrippa, and you know what he said? I think myself happy. You know why? Because he had some money can't buy. He had the joy of God. Hey, friend, you can have the joy of God on Monday and praise God just like you do on Sunday. You can have the joy of God. Hey, when the bottom falls out in your life, thank God you can raise your hands toward heaven and say, thank God, I'm glad I know the Lord. I tell you what, friend, we need some joy of God and back in the church. I wonder, friend, this morning, will the joy of God be found in the house of God? Hey, will the saints of God rejoice? Will there be a smile on the people's face? Will the man of God stand? Thank God with a sword in his hand and honey in his mouth and the joy of the Lord in his strength and praise God preaching the Holy Ghost. Hey, friend, I wonder, friend, hey, will these things be found at the house of God? I wonder, will the word of God be found in God's house? Hey, will the man of God be found? Will the spirit of God be found? Will the people of God be found? Will the worship of God be found? Will the fear of God be found? Will the joy of God be found? I hear there's some things that need to be found at the house of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I pray these things will be found here, found in our house of God this good Sunday morning. And I tell you, friend, these are things that need to be found every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night at the house of God. Here is Hilkiah found the book of the law that had been hidden in the house of God. He gave it to Shaphan. Shaphan took it and read it before the king. Josiah in his clothes. He said, let's go inquire the Lord. Let's get right with God. I'm going to tell you what, friend, I wonder, are there some things hidden this morning in the house of God? Or can these things be found where you go to church? May God help us always to have these things on display at the house of God. Not hidden, not put away somewhere. But thank God out for everyone to see. Because I'm telling you, there's some things that need to be found at the house of God.